And 2.2, we will start off with some of the important quotations from the Six Patriarchs Back From Sutta. The Six Patriarchs' name is Kui Ning, Master Kui Ning. Kui Ning Liu Chu, or Liu Chu Kui Ning. This is a very important sutta. If you want to study the Mahayana teaching, you must understand this sutta. Without understanding sutta, it's very difficult for you to understand the Heart Sutta, because the Heart Sutta is equally profound. It's a Prajna Paramita Sutta. So this is a sutta on Prajna, which is wisdom. And Paramita is perfection. So perfection of wisdom sutta is very, very profound, very beautiful, because it's full of wisdom. Okay, I will read you the instruction so that you know the background behind. One day, while delivering firewood to a store, Kui Ning heard a customer reciting the Diamond Sutta and has an awakening when he heard the stanza. The mind must have no dwelling. In Mandarin, if I'm not wrong, is Xing Wu So Zu. He immediately inquired about the sutta and decided to seek out the three patriarch Hong Ren at his monastery at Hua Mei Mountain. Kui Ning then embarked on his journey, and after traveling for 30 days on foot, he arrived at Hua Mei Mountain, where the fifth patriarch was residing. Then we straightaway go into the first chapter of the Ming Canon version of the platform. So I found this version more accurate. That's why I choose this version. Then according to the sutta, this first chapter, he said, the fifth patriarch asked him, who are you and what do you seek? Then Kui Ning replied, your disciple is a commoner from Xingzhou of Lingnan. I have traveled far to pay homage to you, and I seek nothing other than Buddhahood. Then the fifth patriarch replied, so you are from Lingnan, a southerner and a barbarian. How can you expect to become a Buddha? Asked the fifth patriarch. Then Kui Ning replied, although people exist as northerner and southerner in the Buddha, but in the Buddha nature, there is neither north nor south. A barbarian differs from your holiness physically, but what's the difference is there? What difference is there in our Buddha nature? Master Hong Ren, the fifth patriarch, immediately knew and asked him to do kiosk in the rice mill, the kitchen area. Kui Ning chopped firewood and pound rice at the monastery for the next 8 months. Then we straight away skip to the section where he became the sixth patriarch, how he became the sixth patriarch. So 2.2 part 3, becoming the sixth patriarch. One day, Master Hong Ren announced to the monks, the Sangha, this one you must listen. This one also relevant to all mankind, all cultivators. He said the question of in-season rebirth is a momentous one. Day after day, instead of trying to free yourself from this bitter sea of life and death. Here, bitter sea means kuhai in the Mandarin translation. So, to overcome birth and death is liao sen si. But you seem to go after tinted merits only. Tinted merit means merits which are caused, which can cause rebirth. Means these are not pure merits. Yet merits will be of no help if your essence of mind is obscure. This one is your true mind, your true nature, your essence of mind. So if your essence of mind is clouded by thought, process, emotion, and heedless thinking or delusion, then no matter how much merits you have, it will not help you. That's why this sentence is very important. He said, Yet merits will be of no help if your essence of mind or your true nature or true mind is obscure. Obscure is clouded, cannot shine forth. You are not aware you have that. Yeah. Clouded by what? Like I explained just now, by your delusion, your ignorance, that condition you to be heedless, the heedless thinking. That's why you think a lot. You have a lot of worry, fear, anxiety, emotion. So all these are karmic in conditioning, karmic nature, and all this negativity of mind state or sankhara activity, they cloud your true mind. They prevent you from being able to come into contact with your true mind, your true nature. That's why you lack the ability to be aware. Yeah. So, yet merits will be of no help if your essence of mind is obscure. Yeah. Hope you have developed the understanding. Go and seek prajna, which is wisdom, in your own mind ground. And then write me a stanza or a gatha about it. He who understands what the essence of mind is will be given the robe, the insignia of the patriarchship, and the Dhamma, the ultimate teaching of the Zen school, and I shall make him the sixth patriarch. Go away quickly. Delay not in writing the stanza, as deliberation is quite unnecessary and is of no use. The man who has realized the essence of mind can speak of it at once. See? This is what I mean. You no need to remember anything. Yeah, from that nature, it just come out. Yeah. The man who has realized that true mind, that essence of mind, that nature, can speak of it at once. Because through that nature, you can awaken. Then the wisdom connected, it is always there. You don't have to remind yourself or remember anything. Yeah. As soon as he is spoken to about it, that's why all this enlightenment, they no need to remember, no need to prepare. Anytime you have the condition to talk to them or speak to them, whatever you ask, they can answer you spontaneously. Okay, I will read on. Okay. And he cannot lose sight of it, see? Even when engaged in battle or daily chaos or daily life. Because this wisdom is like what I used to tell Kayamita. You have means you have. You don't have means you don't have. And because you awaken to it, it's connected to your nature, your form and mind. That's why that understanding, the wisdom is always with your nature. That's why when you have the ability of the calm, you don't have to prepare anything. You can just speak the Dhamma. It will come out from there. Like that day, Chi Wei came to know. He said, when I do not read from anything, the Dhamma that came out is the most beautiful. It just flow. When I read from the green book, the Buddha and his teaching, like, not connected because there is the author's version. Okay, then next page. Yeah? How the disciples said to each other that they didn't need to write any gatha, and that surely their teacher or the head monk, Venerable Sensu, would become the sixth patriarch, where he's the most senior and they respect him a lot. So only Sensu wrote a gatha for Master Honglen. But as the head monk, Sensu was well respected and under great pressure to produce a gatha that would qualify him as the next patriarch. However, he was uncertain as to his own understanding, and eventually he decided to write a poem anonymously on the wall in the middle of the night, only to announce his authorship after Master Honglen approved of it. The poem is Sing Su Pu Ti Su. Sorry, Sun Su Pu Ti Su. This is the Mandarin version. So the English translation is, the body is like a bohi tree. Xin zhu ming jing tai, the mind is like a mirror bright on the stand. So actually this one, since you is referring to the mundane mind, yeah, he hasn't realized the true mind. That's why he said, xin zhu ming jing tai. Then, shi shi qing fo shi, means polish it until it shine. Wu shi le chen ai, so that no dust can alight. So this is the poem. Yeah. Then when the disciples saw this gatha on the wall, there was a great stir. But when Master Hong Ren saw it, he told them, practice according to this gatha, you will not fall into the evil line, and you will receive great benefits. Light incense and pay respect to this gatha. Recite it, and you will see your essential nature. So the hint is very clear. Huh? He said, recite it. And later on, as you recite and cultivate, you will finally see your true nature or essential nature or essence of mind. So what is happening here is, he said, if you practice according to what Shen Xiu has mentioned in the poem, you will not fall into the evil line. Means you can become a sotapan, a saint. The sainthood way is possible. But Bodhisattva way, no, because he has yet to realize the true mind. Later I will explain. All the disciples praise and memorize the gatha. However, privately, Master Huan told Shen Xiu, you have arrived at the gate of enlightenment, but you haven't entered it. So for those who cultivate, they will know. He has arrived at the gate of enlightenment, but he hasn't entered it. I will explain later. You have arrived at the gate of enlightenment, but you haven't entered it. With this level of understanding, you still have no idea what the Supreme Bodhi Mind is. Bodhisattva. Yeah. Upon hearing my words, he said, you should immediately recognize the original true mind, the essential nature, which is unborn and unceasing. Given him so much clue, him, and yet Shen Xiu was not able to do it. Where he was caught in the mundane mind. He doesn't know that there is a true mind. When your mundane mind sees the true mind around, he hasn't realized that. That's why he used the thought that to try his very best to think, reflect, contemplate. He can't. Because he don't have the panami. Then the fifth patriarch also hinted further to him, at all times, see it clearly in every thought, means every moment, every arising of thought, with the mind free from all hindrances. Means your mind must have the spiritual faculty so that there is no mental hindrance. In the one reality, everything is real, and all phenomena are just as they are, suchness. From there it arises. So the fifth patriarch has given Shen Xiu a lot of hint, but because he was caught in thought, the thought process, he has not gone beyond thought. He doesn't know what that nature is. That's why he can't. Master Hong Ren asked Shen Xiu to compose another gatha that demonstrates true understanding. Shen Xiu tried very hard, but couldn't come up with another verse. Then when a young novice passes the rice mill reciting Shen Xiu's gatha, Hui Neng immediately knew that this verse lacked true insight. He went to the wall and asked a district officer there to write a poem of his own for him. The officer was surprised. He said, how extraordinary. You are illiterate and you want to compose a gatha or a poem. Whereupon Hui Neng said, this one also applies to cultivator, you listen. He said, if you seek supreme enlightenment or supreme bohi, do not slight anyone. The lowest class may have great insight and the highest class may commit foolish act. In veneration, the officer wrote, cleanings that are on the wall for him, next to Saint Seals, which they. Before I come to that, I have to explain a bit more. That's why here, training advise him, if you seek supreme enlightenment or supreme bodhi, you must not slight anybody. Because to the Mahayana, they have this understanding. You cannot offend, the actual word is offend anybody. Because to them, they always have this understanding. Everyone is a potential Buddha. So if you offend somebody, you're offending a future potential Buddha. How serious is that? You go and think about it or reflect on it. 得罪众生 is equal to 得罪未来佛. It's very, very serious. You cannot offend them. Then, 神修's poem is next to 慧能. So, 慧能's poem actually is so beautiful, it completely counter Sen Xiu's poem. I will read Hui Neng's poem first, then I will explain. Pu Ti Peng Wu Su means Bohi, which is wisdom, is fundamentally not a tree or without a tree. Ming Jing Yi Fei Tai, the mind is neither a stand nor the mirror bright. So here, Hui Neng corrected the mundane mind. He said the true mind is neither the mirror bright nor the stand, but that is the mundane mind. That one which reflect is the mundane mind, the mirror light. Ben Lai Wu Yi Wu, he said. Originally, there was nothing within that nature. That's why I remember I told you, without thought, who are you? You are just that pure awareness nature. And that nature, no word, nothing. That's why I say, without thought, find out who are you. You will come to realize you cannot describe it. No word, nothing. That's why you are nothing. You are nobody. So, originally, there is nothing. 本来无有. 何处惹尘埃? Then where can the dust alight? So this one completely wipe off sensuous poem. So when you start to understand all this, it becomes very beautiful. And I will explain to you the sensuous poem. Actually, his poem is not that. His poem is actually what the Theravada is doing. So he say, our body is like a bodhi tree. Which is very true. What is a bodhi tree? Bodhi is enlightenment, isn't it? Because the bodhi tree that the Buddha set underneath give rise to enlightenment to the Buddha. So this word bodhi is actually enlightenment. So Sen Xiu gave an analogy of the bodhi tree and the physical body, which is very good. Because the Buddha also explained this to the Theravada monk at that time. He said, within this phantom length body, along with perception and thought, I proclaim the world, the cause of the rising of the world, the cessation of the world, and the path that lead to the cessation. Means, within this physical body, he proclaimed the Four Noble Truths. How is it possible? But if you have read and understood the teaching of Sakyamuni, you will know it match perfectly. You remember the Buddha said, Ekayano Bhikkhave Bhikkhu, O Bhikkhu, this is the only way out of suffering. And the only way is the four foundation of mindfulness. Because this is the only way to overcome sorrow and lamentation, to realize the truth, to awaken. namely the four foundations of mindfulness. So within our phantom line body, what do we have? All the four foundations are within our form and mind. The first foundation is kaya anupasana. We have this physical body, kaya. And within this physical body, there is this feeling, vedana anupasana. Then there is this consciousness inside, mind, citta anupasana. Then within the form and mind, all dhamma arise. That's why dhamma anupasana. So since you knew the four foundations of mindfulness, you have to go in into this physical body. And so he cultivated according to the Theravada teaching, the tradition. And he did it very diligently. But he doesn't know the true mind. So what he saw was the mundane mind. That's why he said, this mundane mind is like a mirror bright on the stand, because he can see this mind keep on reflecting things. Yeah. So he used mindfulness. He tried to be ever mindful, constantly aware or mindful. Then the third verse says, polish until it shines so that no dust alight. So he got the mind. Every time defilement come in, he will polish it, means clear it. Then he maintained this mind so that there is no wrong thought, no dust, no unwholesome duality or negativity of mind state. Then he said, if you can maintain this practice until there is no light, no dust, then he believed that is enlightenment. But he is completely wrong. The real cultivation is not like that. As long as you maintain that mundane mind, you can never realize Nibbana, enlightenment, the cessation. That's why the fifth Pirya said, you are at the gate of enlightenment. He actually radiated. What he should do is develop the daily mindfulness until it is very stable, very clear. Then awaken to the Dhamma, realize the Dhamma. Then don't hold on to anything. Don't try to know, don't do anything. Just let the mind relax, aware, settle down, and cease. As long as you still want to be enlightened, want to awaken, you can never do it. As long as you believe that mind is real, that mind is you, and you think that one can awaken, you are trapped in the thought process, the mundane mind. The mundane mind must cease. If that one is dependent, originating, condition arising, cause of phenomena, exhibiting the three characteristics of anicca, dukkha, and ananta. That's why you cannot cling, you cannot hold, you cannot grasp. Otherwise, you will be trapped. That's why thought-based meditation can never lead you out to realize the Dhamma which is beyond thought, beyond mind. So this is why all real cultivators, true cultivators of the way who understand, they will always start with the silent mind, your true mind. If you don't go to that nature, you can never awaken. You can never develop the understanding. That's why to cultivate, you must use the true mind, the silent mind, the meditative mind. But to live life, you need the mundane mind. Always be clear about it. Then since you didn't understand what the true mind is, that's why the fifth Patriarch, you are at the gate of enlightenment. What he need to do is develop the awakening understanding and just let things be and cease. The moment the mind ceases, he will have a glimpse of Nibbana and he will know what that thing is. But he failed to develop that understanding. That's why he was trapped. But Huineng is different because he was born without the mundane mind. That's why when he heard the Diamond Sutta chanting, the mind must have no dwelling. Then he realized his mind was like that. The mind has no dwelling. His mind was all the time like that because he was born without the mundane mind. That's why he can understand. He's like something trigger him off to make him realize that this is what his nature was. And this sutta is so beautiful, the Diamond Sutta. Very little on he came to know it's a diamond. He said, may I know, where do you learn it from? And when he was told about the fifth patriarch, he said, how can I go and meet him? And the person who chanted this one also knew. He said, you are illiterate and you have never heard the Dhamma before. How can you understand all this? And he straight away knew. He said, you must have great affinity with the Buddha and the Dhamma. That's why he sponsored his trip and he promised him to take care of his mother, Huining's mother. And Huining straight away went on to meet the fifth patriarch. That's how the story comes about. So this is so beautiful because Huining already knew what that true mind is, that true nature is. But he needs somebody to explain to him in just few words. He will understand everything already. Yeah. He already has that nature. That's why it's very easy for him to understand and awaken. So the moment he heard Sun Xiu's poem, he knew this poem lacked that. He still hasn't realized the true mind. He's still at the thinking mind, the mundane mind. That's why his opening verse is to tell Sun Xiu, wisdom, bohi, has got nothing to do with the tree. It's not a tree. That's why the first verse is already so beautiful. Beautiful. Puhi peng wu su. Then second line also he clear his delusion. Ming jing yi fei tai. That one is the mundane mind. That is not the true mind. The true mind doesn't have a mirror, doesn't have a stand, doesn't reflect anything. The true mind is just suchness. The unconditioned, just aware, finished, nothing. That's why he said originally there is nothing within the true mind, the true nature. Where can the dust align? So dust is duality created by Sun Xiu, where he used the thought. So the thought gives rise to wholesome and unwholesome. Unwholesome mind state is like defilement, which Sun Xiu say dust. Wholesome is beautiful state without the evil roots. So he every time polish until it shine means that mind must have no defilement. But duality is within, pertain to the mundane world, within the conditional world. So you have to understand duality is created by what? By the mundane mind. So the mundane mind that created duality, this duality cannot cease unless you develop the wisdom to transcend it. So duality means what? When you create one aspect, you name it wholesome, immediately the opposite will arise. This is what yin yang is all about. Tao Te Ching is the same. It's about duality. When you create good, whatever that is not good, the opposite will manifest. That's why wholesome, unwholesome. After your mundane mind create, then you try to think of a method and a technique or a way to transcend this. You can't. Because you created it. And you attach to one and dislike the one. Because they come together. Like the Buddha said. The famous verse. Imas min sati idang hoti. Imas min asati idang arhoti. So the Buddha say, when this arise, that arise. This is duality. When you created positive, whatever that is not positive, negative will arise. Good and bad. Wholesome, unwholesome. Right and wrong. Safe. Then imas min asati. When this ceases, when you don't create any duality, the other duality also ceases. That is wisdom. That is the middle path, transcending duality. If you don't create, it ceases to be. That's why Hui Ning actually wanted to teach Chen Xiu. He said, if you have understood what the true mind is, originally there is nothing. No reality, nothing. Then where does the light come from? The dust come from? Where can the dust alight? Here there is no media for it. You didn't create it in the first place. Then that true mind don't have a media for it to hold on to that duality, the dust. That's why originally he said there was nothing. It's not a problem, but you created the problem through labeling it, creating duality. Then you try to work towards it to overcome it. You can't. Whatever that is created by the thought is within the field of thought. You cannot transcend it. Okay? So wisdom is to be awakened to, not a knowledge. You have to awaken insight into it or realize it or awaken to it. It's not a knowledge. You cannot go and think about it and try to clear it or remove it. Like delusion, you try to root out delusion. The word is okay, you have to root it out, understand? But root it out through what? Through wisdom. The moment you have wisdom, it ceases to delude you, understand? So do you have to root it out? You don't have to root it out. The moment you see it, you know this is delusion, evil root, you don't have to do anything. Yeah, you have the wisdom. You understand these are duality created by the thought, by the mundane mind. So you don't have to do anything. You just let it be. Thing is just the way it is. Within the conditioned world, duality exists. So the three level of seeing will allow you to have this understanding. Initially, like mundane people, seeing mountain is mountain. Kan san si san. This is mundane seeing. Then the direct seeing, kan san bu si san. So the direct seeing is like Hui Ning. There is nothing. No word, no concept, nothing. You just see things as they are, cannot describe. Okay. But to live life, finally, suchness seeing, kan san yu si san. Because you accord and flow. When people say it's mountain because they are not enlightened, yes, it's mountain. When the enlightened one comes, say there is no mountain, yes, there is no mountain. So you can go back to normality again. So that's what the poems is all about. So the Six Patriots poem and the Sensuous poem, both are very good. Yeah. But Sensuous is the initial cultivation towards the Theravada tradition. Yeah. But to really reach the true mind, the essence of mind, you need to realize the enlightenment, Nibbana, the unconditioned. That's why you need to detect the gateway to your nature. Then only it can go in and exist. Otherwise, sainthood way, to wisdom, you can have a glimpse of it. But later on, when you go through the third and fourth stage of sainthood, which is Anagami and Arahantship, your cessation of Nibbana can be longer. So this is what the Heart Sutra is all about. Right? And I read on. Then Hui Ning then went back to pound his rice. However, this gata created a big stir. Everyone was saying, amazing, you can't judge a person by his look. Maybe he would become a living bodhisattva soon. However, when Master Hong Ren came out, he just casually said, this hasn't seen the essential nature either, and proceed to wipe the gata off with his shoe. The fifth patriarch went secretly to the room where Hui Ning was pounding the rice. Seeing that Hui Ning was working with a stone pestle on his back, he said to him, a seeker of the path or the way risks his life for the Dhamma. Should he not do so? That's why fifth patriarch knew. The fifth patriarch then asked, Is the rice ready? Kuei Ning replied immediately. Is it ready, Long Fu? Only waiting for the sieve. Yes, just to sieve it, to separate the husk from the rice. Then the fifth patriarch knocked the mortar three times with his stick and left. Knowing what the fifth patriarch meant, in the middle of the third watch, Kuei Ning went to the fifth patriarch's room. That night, Master Hong Ren, the fifth patriarch, received Kuei Ning in his abode and expounded the Diamond Sutra to him. When he came to the passage, this passage is very important. To use the mind, here the mind means mundane mind, yet be free from any attachment, Kuei Ning came to great enlightenment. Then he exclaimed so beautifully, he said, that all dharmas are inseparable from the self nature. So this part is very beautiful. So what Kuei Ning don't understand is how to apply all this understanding and how to use the mundane mind to live life. That's why he told him, to use the mind, yet be free from any attachment through the wisdom that he has developed. Then the other thing that I add is, the form and mind is subject to karma. That part he will come to know it, because the enlightened one will come to understand that one, the law of karma is very clear to them, where they can see the sign keep on arising until you will never violate it. It's just like I used to tell Kayamata in the Hokkien dialects. I say, it will show you until bo kao lu bo xiong xin. Because the nature's law is like that, law of karma is like that. It keep on coming. Show it to me. Whenever I do certain thing during the early day, immediately the karmic effect come back. But that time is for me to see, for my nature to see. And I saw it. That's why I knew. Since young, the sign all came, and I knew you cannot violate this law of karma. If you violate, you get into trouble. Then after that, he continued. He exclaimed, how amazing that the self nature is originally pure. How amazing that the self nature is unborn and undying. How amazing that the self nature is inherently complete. How amazing that the self nature neither move nor stay. How amazing that all Dhamma come from this self nature. So he came to understand all this so beautifully, just because of the Diamond Sutra and that part which the missing link, how to apply and use the mundane mind to live life. Apply the understanding of the Dhamma and use the mundane mind to live life. And to develop the understanding of both the conditioned world and the unconditioned. That's how he became the sixth patriarch, and he hold that transmitted understanding of the mind to mind seal from patriarch to patriarch. Master Hong Ren told Hui Ning, this part is also very beautiful. This part is where the Singfa is, the mind Dhamma. And Hui Ning, because he has realized that true mind, the true nature, then now he know how to use mundane mind. He straight away understood what the fifth patriarch is trying to explain to him and pass on to him. The fifth patriarch told Hui Ning, if one recognizes the original mind and the original nature, he is called a great man, teacher of God and human, and a Buddha. Then he passed the rope and begging bowl as a symbol of the Dhamma seal of sudden enlightenment to Hui Ning and said, you are now the sixth patriarch. That's how beautiful he was. Although this story is as clearly stated as it can be, it should also be noted that Hui Ning was not permitted to make himself known as the sixth patriarch until later on. This was due to the fear that his fellow monk might be angered and harmed him, that he had been made the sixth patriarch instead of sense you. Or one of the other monk who had seniority over him. So out of compassion to protect Hui Ning, the fifth patriarch cannot announce all this. That's why he said in a very subtle way, he said, this one also nothing special, the prayer music. That's why he quickly rubbed it off, then he went and see Hui Ning. Then after Hui Ning left, it seems he called in Sun Siu and told Sun Siu, he said, I have passed the six patriarchs, robe and insignia bow to Hui Ning because he fulfilled the condition and he told Sun Siu, I hope you don't blame me for doing it. So Sun Siu got no choice but reply in a very nice way to the fifth patriarch. Yeah, I'm not worthy of it. Well, I can't have the wisdom like him. Well, when he heard Hui Ning's poem, he knew he was defeated there and then fled. That's why Sun Siu didn't want to complain or do anything or say anything. Then when Sun Siu came up, he told all his disciples, he said, the true patriarch is Hui Ning. Wow, they are very angry. They don't want to accept that reality. He said, how can it be? He's an illiterate. He just came 8 months, not even a year. And how can the fifth patriarch make that decision? So everyone was very puzzled and unhappy over what happened. Then there is one group that supported Sun Siu. They wanted to go and chase after Hui Ning to get back the robe, the bow and the insignia. Then there is a story, I think recently I was told by my daughter also. They have the youth, they have this video, the six patriarch video. That one is another version. Also not bad. You can go and view it. It's quite interesting. So hopefully with this, you can develop deeper understanding of the Six Patriarch Platform Sutta. And from there, you can understand why you must meditate with the true mind, not the mundane mind. Then through all this explanation, I believe by now, most of you should have the understanding why I teach meditation differently. Relax, aware, this is it. Then let the mind settle down, the mundane mind settle down and cease. And let it return to its original state before the stirring, which is your true mind. Then stabilize it to realize your true mind. That is how you develop your meditation.